It's a happy throwback Thursday. Welcome back to the Everyday Saturday Podcast. Sam Crowley, your humble host, with you on the road to Saturday. Hope you're having an amazing day. As a side note, for those of you that asked, thank you so much for emails, Twitter, things like that. It's awesome how we're all connected. Our daughter, Susan, had her sleep study last night at Children's Hospital. If you don't know what that is, you didn't listen to the show yesterday. What's the matter with you? You didn't listen to the show yesterday? What's up? I thought we were besties. Anyway, I'll let you off the hook on that one. She slept well. I have no idea. We don't get the results. Just because we think she did well and slept, our daughter is on a ventilator at night, by the way, if you're just tuning in. She has a trach tube that she breathes through because she was born at 1 pound at 24 weeks a couple years ago. So our goal is to get her off the ventilator. That's the next step in the evening and throughout the night so she can sleep without it for a lot of reasons. And then get her off the trach, you know, pull that tube out and let her breathe like you and I do through the nose and through the mouth. So I'm back. I picked my wife and daughter up to the hospital this morning around 5:30, 6 o'clock this morning. Drove home. Got my other three girls off to school because life just keeps happening, baby. And listen, let me tell you something. You probably got bigger problems than I got. Not here to boohoo about it, not here to commiserate, not here to see who's got more, you know, stuff going on. We all got stuff going on, all right? You got your challenges, someone else has their challenges. I don't think necessarily we want those to go away. I think it's really important to really grow larger than those challenges, because if we're not growing and we're not learning and we're not becoming more successful, then we're really just stagnant. We're just staying the same person. Who wants to stay the same year after year? Same money problems, same relationship problems, same business problems. You know, I get a kick out of individuals who don't have as much success as others, and they have the deer in headlights look. You know, like, hey, what happened? I don't understand. It's 2016. It was the same way. Look back. Were you having these same issues in 2014, 2013? Heck, 2009? Were you having some of these procrastination issues, organization, getting stuff done, figuring out, making money, too much month at the end of the money, bills and things like that? Well, one of the reasons is, the most logical reason is, you're probably doing the same thing that you were doing. Your patterns, your habits have not changed all that much. You know, when our daughter, somebody asked me a question, what have you learned most through this journey of having a daughter born at 1 pound and all these challenges that you've gone through and spending 221 days at Children's Hospital and things like that? What's the biggest, like, there's a lot of lessons you learn. I'm not even so sure there's a biggest one. Number one is just to be really damn grateful that we're all healthy. My other three kids are really healthy, and we don't have to go through this with all of them, you know? And I think another lesson I realized was how much time I actually have. I mean, look, you're raising three kids already. You think, I don't have any time. I'm off to lacrosse, to soccer. I got a recital here, a recital there. Holidays are coming. Everybody's in a play. We got to get to 17 different places. And then, you know, you got homework and baths and all that stuff just in the regular day. I don't have any time. And then you're dropped with this little bit of a hiccup in your routine where your baby's born at 1 pound. She's in the hospital for 220 days. And then you realize, you know, I have time. How do I know that? Because I just found a whole bunch of it to go visit my kid in the hospital every day for 220 days. And that's getting to the hospital, leaving our house after we drive our kids to school, leaving to the hospital around 8:30 in the morning, leaving to come home around 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon because we had to pick our kids up at school. And I never thought I had that much time in my day. Now, granted, I would bring my laptop into the waiting room with me, and I would work there. That's kind of the beauty of being an entrepreneur. But, you know, I guess there's two schools of thought to that, too. Some people say, boy, that must be tough. I mean, to try to work from the waiting room. No, not really. I mean, not many people are going to bother you. It's not like the hospital is Panera Bread or, you know, Starbucks. People are going to come up and try to chat you up. Nobody's voluntarily going to a hospital to get work done. It's different. The setting's different. The atmosphere is different. Most people are pretty somber, you know, pretty laid back, not looking to chat anybody up, like I said. And then other people would say, boy, it must be nice. Must be nice. You got that free time to just bring your laptop and, you know, get some work done. To which I always reply, what exactly must be nice? It must be nice to have a child born at 24 weeks. Must be nice to go day to day, sometimes hour to hour, wondering if she's going to live. Must be nice getting bills in the millions of dollars for health care. Must be nice to have the stress of raising three other kids while you're trying to just get one to live. What exactly, may I ask you, must be nice? And you get a lot of that too. You have people, who's the last person to ask you, must be nice? To say that when you said something like you're going out tonight or you got tickets to a big game or the opera or some play or something, a really coveted event, you know, or you just had something good happen to you. Whenever you have something good happen to you, doesn't that happen to other people? Must be nice. You know, I get a kick out of people who know I'm a landlord back in my hometown. I have 38 units or so that I rent out. And the tenants, must be nice. Don't even get me started, man. Don't even get me started on that whole deal. Oh, okay. I'm not even going to get into it because the list is so long. We'd be doing this podcast for an hour and a half. But let me just tell you, if you don't have a steel wool stomach lining and you don't let, you know, just stuff roll off you like water off a duck's back, don't ever get into landlord business, man. Don't ever do it because you're going to have, from day one, you're going to have challenges that, you know, you're going to have, you know. Now, the reward is, the reason I invested in real estate back in the day was I knew I wasn't going to stay in corporate my whole life. I had a 401k and a pension, and I knew I would blow through that trying to find my dream somehow, and I would have no retirement. I actually thought about this, amazingly enough, because I don't plan anything. I mean, I don't even plan what I'm having for lunch today, but I did kind of plan this in the sense that I learned from a mentor of mine, and he simply said, I go, how do you become a millionaire? This was back in the late 90s. I want to become a millionaire. And this guy was a big real estate investor. He said, well, go borrow $1 million and go buy some real estate, pay it off. And you got $1 million. You're worth $1 million. I'm like, sounds too simple. He's like, yeah, most things that are worth doing and that can give you great wealth and success really are simple. It's the other people that make it so damn complicated, or they want to make it sound complicated. So yeah, go borrow $1 million, pay off the note, and you got $1 million worth of real estate. And of course, I went and shared that advice with individuals I knew close to me, and you know, I'd go have a beer with them or something. Be like, yeah, what do you think about this? Go borrow $1 million, pay it off, and you got $1 million. Dude, you're going $1 million, and what, are you out of your mind? How the hell are you going to pay that back? I'm like, well, rent. Doesn't work that way, like the rents. Yeah, but what if there's a vacancy, you know, and somebody doesn't pay the rent? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Geez, now you got me second-guessing the idea. So here's a guy who originally told me, a mentor who's been investing in real estate for all of his adult life, and he's worth several million dollars, to just go borrow money and then pay it off, and you're worth what you get. Not to mention all the leverage you have as a result of owning the property and all that stuff. And I got somebody else who's living paycheck to paycheck wondering, you know, how they're going to make their next credit card payment because everything's maxed out. They're telling me I shouldn't do it. Jeez, this is getting – now it's even becoming easier. I'm thinking to myself, geez, now this is even more of an easy decision. The successful people's giving this advice. The individual stuck in the proverbial quicksand going nowhere, again, having the same problems I had 5 years ago, that they're having right now. Part of the must be nice crowd is telling me don't do that. So I guess my question to you on this show today is, who are you listening to? Are you listening to individuals that have actually done it, had success? Yeah, it might be a little risky. Remember the definition, the difference we all know between risk and, well, not we all know that if you hear me say this on the show, there's risk involved in anything. There's risk in getting behind the wheel of your car. It's risky to down a fifth of Jack Daniels, blindfold yourself, and then get behind the wheel of your car. You see the difference? Some people don't know the difference in business between those two, and it's important that you do. I see no risk in buying real estate. I don't see it as risky. I see risky as going to a job for 40 years and then getting put out to pasture and dying of a heart attack a week later and never living your dream. I mean, is there anything? I ask you this question, is there anything more riskier than that? I say no. There's not anything more risky. I don't care if I lose every dime I have. I would never want to live a life of regret. That would eat me up from the inside, man. It would just gnaw at me every single day that I didn't do it. And look, there's things that I won't be able to do in my 50s that I was able to do in my 20s. There's things that you're not able to do when you raise a family that you could do when you were single and vice versa. So don't ever live your life wondering, must be nice, you know, or, ooh, that's too risky. Get up, man. Get up and figure out a way to do it. And listen to people. I'm telling you, this sounds simple. Here you go. You want some real simple advice, almost academic? Listen to people that have actually done it, okay? And just listen. Don't talk. Stop talking so much. Listen. And let them tell you how they did it. And then you know what you do? Go do it. Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday podcast. By the way, did you take advantage of the early bird link I still put up there? Couple of you did, and I got your emails. Thank you very much. Go to edislive.com. E-D-I-S, as in Everyday Saturday. edislive.com. I'm telling you, if you miss this one, you've missed everything. As we celebrate the 10-year anniversary of EverydaySaturday.com, it's the launch of the Everyday is Saturday Academy. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Everyday is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit EverydayIsSaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag EverydayIsSaturday.